We're going to be in for a triple blessing this morning, man. What incredible worship. James Harvey, come up here, brother, and you open us in prayer. This man right here, this group in here, is going to be instrumental in seeing this man become the next mayor of Memphis. We're going to get behind James. You got enough worker bees in here to make something happen, so we're going to get behind you. I just want you to hear this man's heart as he prays, and I want you to lift up James Harvey.
Good morning, everybody. Let's bow our heads as we pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thou name. Thou kingdom come, thou will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. For thine is the kingdom, thank you, Lord, and the power, have mercy, Jesus, and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you.
James, do you want to mention anything about Friday night? Is that invitation
only? It's not invitation only. It is a meeting, call to action meeting that I'm having Friday at Southwind Country Club. And it's just a gathering of people that want to support the campaign, that comes with ideas, come with some thought leadership that forms the campaign. Oftentimes we give the candidate too much credit. But you all are the people that should be steering government, and I want to be steered based on your experience and your knowledge and your support. We're not asking you for money. We're asking for your prayers and your commitment that would be an outreach to the general public so we can have one consensus candidate that everybody can rally around that will listen to your needs and your expectations and a leader, and that's me. So I invite you to come out to Southwind Country Club, 6 o'clock Friday, p.m., not a.m., p.m., and I would love to see you there. If you can't come, feel free to send somebody. If you don't know how to connect, David is my coach, consultant, and he's my prayer partner, and he makes sure that I stay in line. So if you can't get me, you don't know my number. It's not private. David has it, and many of you have it. So thank you very much.
Good morning. Join me, please. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Well, I want to thank you all for being here this morning. I know it's a day after a holiday, but it's a great crowd. And thank you, Paul Burkus, for the worship. And thank you, James, for the prayer. And I want to just share with you briefly about a ministry that I got involved with about 12 years ago. When I was working at Barnhart Crane and Rigging, we had an opportunity to get involved with Global Missions. And I made a pitch to the giving arm of Barnhart called Grove, God's Resources Operating Very Effectively. And I submitted a proposal for $100,000 for 10 countries to do leadership training, sports leadership training in 10 countries in the Middle East. Well, Alan Barnhart called me to the office and he told me to pick one country. And that was the business side of him. And we ended up picking, I think, Morocco and Algiers, sort of a mix there. And they put $10,000 into this leadership training. Well, then in 2010, the Lausanne Conference that Billy Graham has for world evangelism, they meet every 10 years. They met in Cape Town, South Africa. And Alan and his wife and Sandy Wilson and several people flew to Cape Town. And they ran into Kasi Kosterns with a lead to serve. Kasi, if you saw the movie Invictus, it's the true life story of Nelson Mandela coming out of prison after 27 years of being incarcerated and then becoming president of South Africa. And there was a rugby team in the movie that the World Cup of rugby was hosted in Cape Town. And the chaplain of the rugby team was Kasi Kosterns in real life. And he helped reconcile the apartheid, the blacks and the whites, in a soccer or a rugby stadium in Cape Town. And Kasi was the man with lead to serve that I was trying to get the funds raised to. So anyway, Alan ends up meeting Kasi Kosterns in Cape Town. He comes back. He said, I met this guy that you're trying to raise support for. So I submitted, $120,000, got it. The next year, requested $250,000, and we got it. And it was going to this sports movement name, Ready, Set, Go. And when I left 4 or 5 years ago, that $250,000 was being matched. So it was close to $500,000 every year that was going into the sports movement. Ahmad is here today to meet with Grove to try to, you know, keep the fire stoked up. And yesterday he was in Cairo, flew into Frankfurt, and then landed in New York City last night. Was supposed to go to Houston, but he got over to Newark because his flight got late and ended up here late last night, early this morning. Bill picked him up this morning. And I've asked Ahmad just to share, just a brief, maybe 5 or 8 minutes to share about the sports ministry. The two greatest ways to reach the world is through music and sports. You look at the Soccer World Cup that just took place in Qatar, $160 billion sports budget to build 8 soccer stadiums in Qatar. And the ministry that went forth sort of under the stealth of sports. And then we've got a message by Wilson, and Ken Napper's going to introduce him. But Ahmad, come up here, brother. I've been with this man a couple times in Cairo. He's in Casa El Dabar, was in Casa El Dabar, which is the largest evangelical church in North Africa. They have an incredible conference center called El Wadi out in the desert that looks like Kanakuk up in Missouri. They have a covered soccer stadium, swimming pools. It looks like a resort, but it's a training ground where they train Arab kids, Muslim kids, Christian kids. They'll have 30 or 40,000 kids show up. It's phenomenal. I've never seen anything like it. And you would think in the Middle East that the ministry couldn't go forth, but it's just phenomenal. Cairo has 20 million people. The three big pyramids that you see are on the edge of Cairo downtown, and we're going to show him our pyramid later in the day. Ahmad.
Good morning. Great to be here. I want to thank you for every time you pray for Middle East, because we need a lot of prayer for everything happen. I see Awaken Memphis and the Facebook and through David for many years, but I cannot imagine myself today. I just come from 3 hours and share. It's a privilege to be here. What we, like David say, the universal language in the Middle East to use it is sports. Because sports, everyone loves sports, everyone crazy about sports. What we want to make to do to make disciple in every nation in Middle East, in and through sports. This is our tool. This is the car we will use it to reach the different nations. I know last like 12 years Middle East on the media, it's from terrible situation to terrible situation. From revolution to revolution to COB, millions of refugees. So sometimes we feel like it's a very hard time for us. It's really hard times. Many years after we trained many leaders in Middle East, we found ourselves, they say, sorry, guys, We found our leader say, sorry, the situation in our country, it's very hard. We need to leave. I know some people, especially from Syria, we trained them for many years, but they tell me, Hamad, if I stay, I will go to the army for 10, 12 years. I will jump on the boat and going to Europe. For many years, we feel like the revolution and the hard time in the Middle East, it's bad. But I want to show you the other side. Now, you can see churches in some countries in Middle East. It's full from the people, different background. I take Cassie to one country with me to speak about fatherhood and speak about sports ministry and going to the church. And we find inside the church more than 100 women. There is no youth. Why? Because the youth going to war or jump on the boat. But 100% from the people attend the church, praise Lord, it's from different background. Can you imagine we can see this without this hard time? Through the hard time, we see something different. We see many people know Jesus. We see many people believe in the religion can control the country. But now they understand the religion, how it was bad. When the godly people for themselves, they think about if they lead the country, they make a big difference, they discovered they are not godly people. So the people understand more about Jesus. The people we see last few years, many people come to faith more than any, like 30, 40 years. Last October, we was in one of the country in North Africa. I cannot say the name for the security. And for many years, we are traveling and we train only leaders for 8 leaders. If we have 8 leaders in this country, this is, we can say, praise Lord. We are going there and we find full house, 25 leaders coming from 8 cities and say, we know Jesus last few years after what's happened, a revolution and everything, and we want to follow Jesus. 3 of them, through the conference, they decided, guys, we want to be baptized. And in this country, to know Jesus, this is the first step, but to be baptized, this means I will not back again to this religion. I want to continue with Jesus. Many stories happened, and the people was crying, and this is the prayer request for today. When the people know Jesus, they start struggling in the community, in the family, in their work. So after we speak about the sports ministry and how we can use the sports to reach the neighbors, especially our focus in the neighbors, they start say, do you know, we have list of people, it's more than 100 youth. They know Jesus, but they back again after the pressure happened in their community. We want to reach these 1,000 people. So we need to pray for the people to continue in their country. The only hope for our nation, and you know the number and the statistics of people, millions of refugees from the Middle East. The number of Christianity in Middle East going from this number to this number every year. What we try to are doing to invest in new generation. Our focus last 2 years to invest in leaders, 16 years, 17 years, to feel these people, they want to make transformation in our country. We want to pray for many things, but to see these churches afraid to proclaim the gospel, we need to pray for them. In some countries, the church afraid, the politics afraid, the people afraid to going to jail. We see something different last couple of 3 years. After the people attend our training, they need to finish the training with the ministry plan. What you will doing? I will statement. How you can start your discipleship group in your nation, in your neighborhood. And we found many people something different. They started to relocate from city to city just to reach unknown people, just to reach new people, to proclaim the gospel with them. We are so happy because our focus invests in new generation and leaders. These people go to make evangelism for kids, for youth, for families, and then start the discipleship movement with them. How we can read the Bible. We always encourage the people, you don't need to study for many years to start your Bible study group. Just ask a question, what God says? How you can reflect about this? If you learn something, do you want to share it with someone? Who will share it? Just try to share it with one, or two, or three. We was like surprised with Cassie when he's going with me to this country. And in our mindset, we feel like everyone will dream about immigrate to USA, to Canada, to Australia, to Germany. And we found many youth, he say, do you know, like Esther, God put me in this country for such a time like this because he wants this country back to Jesus. Even through the hard time, God working with the amazing way through sports. But we need a lot of prayer. We need prayer for the people to continue with God. We invest too much in the local because this is the only hope for the people to continue. Last month, after going for North Africa country, our leader tried to enter the country again. And when they arrived there, the government say, we know about you. Sorry, you make it last time, but this time it didn't work. Go back home. And even it's happened for me 2 times in 2 different countries. So we want to pray for the local people. Because this is the people, they need to carry their country in their shoulders. Thank you for being here. Yeah.
Amen. Yes. Thank you, Mark.
David, can I ask you a question?
Yes.
You are working in countries that are against the Christianity, and they are very hard against it. You know, if you become Christian or renowned, they will put you in prison. So how do you just?
Well, he can't do that on here. Let's do that afterward, okay?
Okay.
Well, that's sort of a security thing. We need to let him address that afterwards. Okay. Thank you, Ahmad. In light of some of the things that you're doing, we don't need to have it with it being live. I remember one of the last times that I was with you in Cairo, we had 220 Arab sports leaders from 12 different Arab nations trained all day long, all week long, but from 7 to 9 every night, they played soccer in the indoor soccer. Like we had a World Cup, just like this thing right here, the soccer world. That's where I got the idea from, the soccer World Cup, was from what they were doing in Egypt. And they heavy, heavy, heavy competition from 9 to 11 every night. They didn't go to sit on the couch and eat potato chips. They went out and played soccer for 2 hours, and then they had the championship game there at the end of the week. But I just remember that indoor or covered soccer facility there. But please pray for NAM. NAM stands for North America, Middle East. NAME, North America, Middle East. Excuse me?
North Africa, Middle East.
North Africa. What did I say, North America? North Africa, Middle East. Excuse me. Thank you for correcting me. Ken, come up here and introduce Wilson for us, please. Thank you. Ahmad only had 3 hours sleep. You know, he was he didn't get in till after midnight last night. Thank you, Bill, for picking him up and getting him here this morning. Ken Napper with Overcoming Abuse God's Way.
Good morning, everyone. It's a privilege this morning to be able to introduce my brother this morning. I know you're going to be blessed. Wilson, I met a little bit over a year ago, come to our church, and ever since then I've learned the person that Wilson is. He's dedicated to his work, as you know. He doesn't want to brag about his educational stuff, but he's a mechanical engineer, and he has a very awesome responsibility with a company. But you know, I've learned more than that about Wilson. I've learned that he loves God, and he loves God, and he loves his family. He loves Eunice and Juanita and Eliana, and that's the most important thing to him. And And I know you're going to be blessed this morning. I was just thinking just now, the scripture says that the kingdom of God is not, it's not meat or drink, but it's peace and joy and righteousness and the Holy Ghost. And Galatians 4:6 tells us, because we're sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our heart, crying, Abba, Father. 2 Corinthians 3:17 tells us, now the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. So I just want to pray for you this morning, brother. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I bring this whole room before your throne, but especially my brother Wilson, Lord God. And I pray, God, that you would just pour your Spirit out on him. I know he's anointed, Father God, but I pray a special touch for him, Lord God. I pray that he would experience that freedom that I'm talking about. Lord, we as in our sonship, as we understand our sonship, we're not slaves anymore, God, but we're in your kingdom, God, and all your precious promises are ours, Lord God. We're seated in heavenly places with you, Lord, and I pray, God, he would experience your freedom as he stands up here, God, and delivers your word. And Father, I pray for us, God, that, Lord, you would give us ears to hear, Father God, and eyes to see what the Spirit would say to the church, Lord. God, that you would help us to receive the word in faith, Lord. The word will go forth, Father God, and it will hit its mark, God, Lord. It will accomplish that you send it to do, Father God. But I just pray for us this morning, God, that we would be just so ready, Lord God, to receive, God, what he says this morning, Father. And again, Father, I just pray a special blessing upon my brother right now. In the name of Jesus Christ, Father, I pray. Amen.
Praise the Lord. It's always a privilege and an opportunity to speak and meditate about my friend, Jesus Christ. And I'm always passionate every time I get an opportunity to speak about him and speak about the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And today, my message would be on our identity in Christ, our identity in Christ. And the objective for today's sermon would be on to discover and rediscover the truth that will transform us and confirm us unto the image of his Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, brother. So God gave his only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, for us, so that we start living like him. And we also understand the inheritance that is available through him. And the journey that we are taking on in this earth, we live in the identity that we receive through Jesus Christ, our Savior. So the part of our transformation is knowing our identity in Christ, right? So in scriptures, we understand the substitution and identification. The substitution is someone, one for someone and one for many. So Christ became substitute at the cross of the Calvary, and he took away all our sins and burdens, and he gave us the freedom. He gave us a liberty. He gave us an opportunity to live a life that he called us. He was sinless, yet he bore our sins. Amen. He was Son of God, but yet he took the burden of sin and he made us alive, a life that we can cherish long after. So another aspect of this truth is an identification. The identification is one for many and many for one. So what happens to one happens to many, right? So Paul brings this truth in Romans chapter 5, verses 12 and 19. Therefore, just through one man, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men, because all sinned. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. The truth of identification is explained here very well. So, one man, Adam, disobeyed, and we all became the sinners, and the death was brought upon us. And that's what happened. Through one man, everybody received the death. Likewise, the scripture says, one man, the last Adam, Jesus Christ, we received the everlasting life. And this identification is extended to everyone. The natural man, in natural, is identified in Adam, and the spiritual man, the new creation, is identified by Christ. So what happened to Christ, it happens to all of us. Now, in God's mind, we believers who are the part of a new creation, we are identified in Christ, and what Christ received, we all received. So, we might ask this question, how does it happen? Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago, and Adam died, I don't know how many years back. But still, the sin is carrying over on us, and how the liberty is carried on us. And in one of our church sessions, the preacher asked to us, do you teach a toddler in your home how to tell a lie? So you keep the jar, your cookie jar open, and this child puts a hand and he has that cookie. You have told that child, hey, don't you have that cookie until I come? And still, this child has taken a bite. And he or she is having that in the hand, and still you're saying, did you eat cookies? And no, I didn't. That's the natural man. This is what we inherited through Adam. And now how a man can be regenerated, how he can live an everlasting life, how the transformation takes place. Look at those people who are liberated from drug addiction, liberated from drunkenness, liberated from the filthy lifestyle. They heard this gospel. They heard in this sports event. Their life changed and transformed. And you can see them like never before. Their identification has changed. Their identity is changed. What happened? There's a transformation. So this transformation is at work now, even today with us. And we believe in this transformation. We believe in this identification. And we live in this identification. And the scripture teaches us that because we are in Christ, because we are in Christ, we are identified with him in his crucifixion, in his burial, in his resurrection, is in his ascension, and is an exalted portion at the right hand side of Jesus of God. Isn't that wonderful? Isn't that wonderful for all of us this morning that we identify ourselves in the Son, Jesus Christ? This is our identity. And I just wanted to share, you know, there's a lot of scriptures to read out and meditate on this, but one scripture that really transformed me to be who I am, transformed me to think what I am in Christ and whose I am, came from Romans 6. And I know we have a very less time, but I would request all of you, if you have your Bibles, please follow me when I read this entire chapter. I'm reading from NKJV version, but whatever version you have, you can follow and read. Romans chapter 6, verses 1 to the end of the chapter. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that the grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died in sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized in Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Now if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. But the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourself to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust, that you do not present your members as an instrument of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourself to God as being alive from dead, and your members as an instrument of righteousness of God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? But God be thanked that though you were slaves in sin, yet you obeyed from the heart, from that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I speak in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. For just as you present your members as slaves of uncleanness and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves of righteousness, of holiness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regards to righteousness. What fruit did you have then in the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now, having been set free from sin, and having become slaves of God, you have fruit to holiness, and the end, everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and praise you for this wonderful day, Father Lord. Lord God, I submit myself into your spirit. Lord, I submit myself into your hands, Father Lord. As we unveil this word and the truth, Father Lord, I pray you be the center of everything, O God, and thou be glorified and honored and praised. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This is a powerful chapter, and I'm sure all of you have gone through this and you have got many revelation as we read this in many ways, in many occasions, many circumstances. But I want to take a look on one or two words on Romans 6 and then keep going. So the Romans 6, 17 and 18. Let's read Romans 6, 17 and 18. But God be thanked, though you were slaves to sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which you were delivered. So here, Paul is saying that you obeyed from heart. You obeyed from heart to that form of a doctrine, that teaching which was delivered to you. This form is a representation of a mold or a die, where a molten metal is poured into it. It gets the shape what the Creator wanted to create. So that form of doctrine, that teaching, Paul is highlighting. He said, when you obey it from your heart, your life shaped, and you moved from a molten state of slavery to sin to freedom and to the righteousness. This is a powerful statement of transformation. Our past life encounters has no value because God has given a shape, that shape, which is a desire of God, the way He wants to lead us and wants to put us in front of everyone. And the question is, what shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that the grace may abound? Certainly not. Certainly not. Obviously, we are God's children. The grace which is available to us has encouraged us to live sin and live a life according to the will of God. The grace which is available to us is encouraging us to live or walk out from sin. So how does it happen? How does this happen? He explains in verses 3 to 5. Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized in Christ Jesus, we were baptized into His death. And therefore we are buried with Him through the baptism unto death. So here Paul is saying that when we were baptized into Christ, we are brought into Christ. That's an identification process. But this union has two aspects. One aspect is of the spiritual dimension. Another aspect is a natural dimension. The spiritual aspect is the Holy Spirit baptizing us unto Jesus. We see in 1 Corinthians 12:13. And a natural aspect is the water baptism, which is an outward expression of your inward reformation. So, how is that possible? We saw in Romans 5, 12 and 19, it happened through identification process, one for many. What happened to one, many experienced, isn't it? And in Romans chapter 6, verse 6 and 7, it says, knowing that our old man was crucified. So I want to unveil this identification as I told you about the crucifixion, burial, resurrection, ascension, and exaltation. So the first one is the crucified, we being crucified or identified with Christ in his crucifixion. So verse 6, it says that knowing that our old man was crucified in him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. For he who has died has been freed from sin. Knowing that, every believer here knows this. The old man has been crucified. The body of sin might be done away. We are no longer slaves. Everything in our past life, everything which was reigning in us, is hung on the cross of Calvary, and it has gone through the shame that it can go through. With whom? In Christ. It's dead. Meaning, the sinful nature that we had before has no longer effect in our life. So, if the devil comes and whispers in your ears and tells you, hey, you're going through this because you're going through from 25 years or 30 years, you're born with this, this is an Adam nature, don't listen to him. He's telling a lie. We are identified in Christ in the crucifixion, because all our old nature, all our bondages is broken. It's hung on the tree. It has taken us shame. An important thing for us this morning, for all our fellow brothers here and sisters, is that we have to know this. We have to understand it. We have to start living in it. We have to start to proclaim the spiritual truth that our sins have been dealt at the cross of Calvary, and it has no dominion over us. No, not at all. It is dead. The second identification in Christ is buried with Christ. In verse 4, therefore we are buried with him through baptism into death, just as Christ was raised from dead by the glory of the Father. What happens when a man dies? What happens? He leaves this realm and he enters to another realm, which is eternal. He's dead. I saw this clip of a movie somewhere. You know, this gangsters comes, the man is dead, they bring his most expensive alcohol they could ever get, they keep him in his coffin and close it, and they buries him, saying that that's what he liked. Can that man, that drunkard, drink that expensive wine? No, he's dead. In the pyramid, people thought they would one day be alive, and they kept everything that needed for that king or queen or anyone from the royal family to have it. Still, they're dead. Even today, we can go and look at it. They're dead. That means our past life is separated from us. The past life has no dominion over our lives. The influence, the power that keeps coming back, whispering, no, it's dead. Satan is a liar. And the third aspect, we are risen with Christ. We are raised with Christ. So Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. So when Christ was resurrected, we were resurrected. That means a brand new life has taken over us. Brand new life. As a believer, God wants us to live a life like His, a Zoe kind of life. We want to live a resurrected life, a brand new life, as a wearing on new clothes, new shoes, having a crown of glory, walking in that understanding. My dead man is dead. The old man, the Adam's creation, Adam's nature is gone. It's a new creation that we have. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 5, 6, and 7 says, even when we were dead in trespasses, we made us alive together with Christ and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus, that in ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His likeness towards us in Christ Jesus. When Christ ascended, we also ascended. What a wonderful thing, right? Our nature is crucified. It has taken the shame. It has been buried and died. And we see a resurrection. The dead is gone and the new resurrection, new life has come into our effect. And now see, in Colossians chapter 3, verses 1 to 3 says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above. If then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things of the earth. For you died. Your life is hidden in the Christ. What does it mean for us? We need to believe, right? We need to know our identity, that we have been raised. That means the patterns of this world, the systems of this world does not have effect anymore because our past, which was associated with it, is already dead and gone, and a new life has come in our life. John says, the lust of life, the lust of flesh, and the pride of life, these are the system of this world. And rebellion, we've escaped all this darkness. It has no effect in our life. We have an effect of eternal life. We have to know this as the believers. We have to know this as His children. And the important thing to understand is, because we are in Christ, we are a new creation. And because we are a new creation, we are taken along with Jesus Christ. In 2 Peter 1, chapter 1, verse 4 says, By which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be the partakers of divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. The corruption, the moral degradation, we all have escaped. We have no subjection to this. So anybody comes with this understanding that we can have dominion over you, with the tricks and patterns of this world, you have a right to reject it in the name of Jesus. No offense. No offense. We have the right because we have identified. We have risen from the dead through Christ. Another aspect, another identity in Christ is we are seated with Christ at the right hand of God. I've heard a lot of ooms here. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 6 says, and raised us up together. What does that say? Sorry, did I read it wrong? And raised us up together and made us sit together. We are raised together and we are made to sit together in the heavenly place in Christ Jesus. The exalted position, the victorious position, and we are seated in the heavenly realm. What does that mean to us? It means we have spiritual authority and dominion over the world. As a believer, we need to understand we have this identity in Christ, that we are seated at the right-hand side of the Lord. Praise God. You are in the place of authority to live a life, victorious life, free life. God has put us in that place with a purpose. God has not put us without a purpose. He has put everyone in their places. Someone wants to be something, and God has a plan for it. Because He knows you being the believer, you being chosen through Christ Jesus, you have been given an authority and dominance to have. There's no other place. There's no other better place that ever we can look for. It's a place of power. Yes. It's a place of dominance. Yes. Today, when we go out with this confidence, we will face this deceiver, this Satan, with confidence, fearlessly, with courage. Because we are operating not with the earthly realm, we are operating in the heavenly realm. Romans 16, chapter 16, verse 20 says, and the God of peace will crush the Satan under your feet. The God of peace. God wants peace. And the peace comes by crushing Satan under our feet. To sum it up, what is my identity in Christ? My identity in Christ is, I'm crucified with Christ. The body of sin was destroyed. The sin has no dominion over you and me. My identity in Christ is with his burial. Separated from the past life, you have been separated from the past life. Our former lifestyle is put away. We are resurrected with Christ. We are given a new life. We are raised up into the heavens with Christ. We are separated from this age and the world. We are seated with Christ. We have a position to rule and reign. my dear brothers and sisters, this morning. As we know all this identity we have in Christ Jesus as believers, as leaders, as a people to bring reformation and change in this society, as we are the people who are going to bring His kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. I want to close this with three things, very important things, but I will do it very short so that we take this in a short way and remember this. The three things is in Paul speaks in Romans 6 is know, reckon, and yield. Verse 6 says, knowing this, we have to understand our inheritance. We have to understand our position. We have to understand our identity in Christ. Knowing this. We have been crucified, buried, and raised. Knowing this truth is important. So, Romans 6, chapter 11, Romans chapter 6, verse 11, it says, reckon yourself. Reckon. Yes. It's a accounting term, right? Reckon is you're considering. The considering. You have different things, you reckon everything is correct. Reckon and accept the truth. We are transformed and confirmed to the image of Jesus Christ. Do not allow the sin to reign in our body. And the last thing is yield. Romans chapter 6, 13, 16, and 19 says, yield or present or surrender. Make yourself completely available to God so that He can use us as His instrument of righteousness, resulting in holiness in all aspects of our life, that we have Christ in us. Yes. Finally, Paul teaches us from Romans 6, the Spirit of life who empowers us to live in the truth of identification. Amen. We are being identified. No power has dominion. Anybody comes with their old nature, you have a right to say no. We are identified in crucifixion, in His burial, His resurrection, in His ascension, and in His position, exalted position in Christ Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
Praise God. Rick Floyd, Nathan Hedley. Okay, all that. Close us in prayer, brother. Rosell Anderson, Prison Evangelist. Worshiper.
Father, we thank You for Your holy presence that has descended upon this place. Father, You tell us, he that has ears to hear that the Spirit is speaking into our hearing. Right now, Father, we realize and recognize that it's not by might nor by power, but by Your precious, precious Spirit. None other than the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, the Guide, the Teacher, and the Revelation Revealer. Thank You, Father, for the impartation of Your words that have come forth. We know Isaiah 10:27 says that the anointing destroys the yokes and removes the burdens. Thank You, Father, as we go from this place, never from Your presence, we go, Lord, rejoicing and knowing, Lord, that we have a new identity in You. We have victory in you. No more slaves to sin, Lord, but alive unto righteousness. And Lord, we take our rightful place in you in authority against the devil, and in everything that he tries to bring our way through sickness, disease, poverty, and lack. We take authority over that in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, bless every hearer and doer of your most precious words. In Jesus' name, hallelujah, amen, amen, and amen.